Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, fourth line. We've been talking about zugas.
Kuf Yud Amud Aleph.
Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph.
Kuf Yud Aleph.
Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, fourth line. We've been learning about zugas, about the danger of eating or drinking things in pairs, and the danger that it exposes a person to from shadim or from kishuf. So now the Gemara continues with other similar things that are dangerous because they expose a person to such things. So Amar Shlokish, Abad Varim, Ha'oisais, and Dame Bereshai. There are four things that if a person does them, his blood is on his head. In other words, he's responsible for his own death or for anything that happens to him because it was his fault. Or Mischayev Benafshai, and similar idea. He's Chayev, he's held guilty for the fact that he lost his own life. Elohein, and they are as follows. Number one, Hanifne ben Deka Lakoisel. A person goes to the bathroom between a palm tree and the wall. The Gemara is going to be saying soon. The idea is with a number of these things is the idea that Shadim passed by over there. So therefore he's exposing himself to harm from Shadim. And then number two, over ben Shneid Kolim. He walks between two palm trees. Number three, Vashoisim Maim Sha'ulin, if he drinks water that was borrowed. And each of these also we're going to have soon. The Gemara is going to modify them and explain that they only apply in certain cases. And number four, over our Maim Shfuchim, if a person walks over water that was spilled on the ground, even if it's his own wife spilled it on the ground in his presence, nevertheless, it's still dangerous to step over. There's actually various manuscripts of the Gemara and Rishonim that have the Girsa rather not Ishtoi, not his wife, but rather Bitoi, his daughter. That even if his daughter spilled it, then it's still dangerous. Okay. So let's go through the four of them. The Gemara says, Hanifne ben Deka Lakoiso. The first one we said is a person goes to the bathroom between a palm tree and the wall. Loy Amoran Ela Delesle Aba Amos. First of all, that applies only if there's not four Amos space between if you didn't leave a space of four Amos. Aval Isle Aba Amos. But if that area between the palm tree and the wall is more than four Amos wide, less lunba, then there's no problem. The idea is Rashi and the Rashbam say the Shadim like to walk between the palm tree and the wall. The idea is, in general, Shadim are not just supposed to go in the middle of the street where they're going to harm people. They're supposed to stay to the sides. So a place like that between a palm tree and a wall is a natural place for them to go. So if you go to the bathroom there, then so to speak, like you're ruining their road. So therefore they get angry and therefore they can harm a person. But if there's four Amos over there, they have room to walk by anyway. So then there's no problem with it. Also, even if it's less than four Amos, the danger only applies if there's no other road, there's no other place for that shed to be able to walk through. But if there is another way that the shed could just as well walk through, less lunba, then again, there's no problem because why? Then there's no particular reason to assume that the shed Dafka has to use this way between the palm tree and the wall. He could just as well use some other way through the courtyard or through wherever it is, or through the street or whatever it is that you are. So that's the first one. Next, the second one, well, over ben shnei to call him. The second one is a person walks between two palm trees. Loy amoron elod lepaskinu rishus rabim. That applies only if they're not split up, if they're not divided between them by rishus rabim. Ava paskinu rishus rabim less lunda. But if the Rosh HaSarabim interrupts between them, then there's no problem because Rashbam says, then you have many people walk in that Rosh HaSarabim, then a mazik, a shed, has no permission to harm people over there. He can't be Gozel HaSarabim. He's not allowed to be Shadim. After all, our creation of the Ebishter like any other. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga, they're half person, half malach. So they have to follow whatever rules Hashem set out for them. And one of them is they don't have the right to just randomly go and steal from the rabbim and prevent the rabbim from being able to use this area. Good morning, Ellie. So therefore, if there's a Rosh HaSarabim between the palm trees, then there's no problem. Good thing too, when you get down to it, because like, you know, throughout Southern California and Eretz Yisrael and many places like that, you have places where there are streets where you have palm trees on both sides. Okay. So that was the second one. If a person walks between two palm trees where there's no Rosh Hashanah in between them, then it's dangerous because then Shadim can attack him.
Why just palm trees? Why not any tree?
It's a good question. It seems throughout this sugya over here that palm trees have this unique thing. Although on Omid Beis, we're actually going to talk about a number of other kinds of trees where Shadim like to hang out in the shade of those trees. But it seems from this Gemara and also yesterday that Shadim for some reason have a particular affinity for being near palm trees. Why? I don't know. One thing is, by the way, on a deeper level, it could be. I mean, we know a tzaddik is compared to a palm tree, tzaddik katamo yifrach. So maybe there's a certain connection over there, like maybe shadim, which represent koichas of tumah, try to attack tzaddikim and people who are, and then things that represent tzaddikim more than anything else. Because you have the expression in the Gemara in Sukkah, kola gadol mechavera yitzri gadol hemenu. Whoever the greater a person is, the greater their yitzahara is. So maybe that has something to do with it, but I don't know.
Could it be because there's less nius under a palm tree than under a regular tree?
Under a palm tree. Well, Adraba, Adraba, you find, for example, it says that Devora, when she was judging the people, and she's a woman, and then people who are coming to her are men, and there'd be a problem of yichud, that she would davka judge them under a palm tree, because that way there's no possibility of yichud under it, because the branches are high up. I don't know. All right, onward. Number three, Hashoizen, we're holding the fifth line of the wide lines, and Kofir Aleph. Hashoizen Maim Sha'olin, the third one we said that's dangerous is if a person drinks borrowed water. So, Loyamoran Elod Shailinu Katan, that applies only if it's a child that borrowed that water, because then the Shadim like to get involved with that water. Avogadol Leslanba, but if it was an adult who borrowed the water, then there's no problem. And even if a child borrowed the water, we're also not saying that there's a problem with Shadim Elabasada, only in the fields. Where it's not as common, where it's not as easy to find water. But in the city, where it's much easier to find water, because people have wells in their yards, I guess, or whatever, less lunba, then there's no problem with it. So Rashi and the Rashbam both explain that in a city where it's very cramped so Rashi's first explanation is actually that no. The Rashi's first explanation that in the city it would be worse, because in the city it's cramped. And therefore, shed is more likely, a ruach ra is more likely to rest on the water. A second explanation, Rashi says, which is also the only explanation that the Rashbam brings, is the other way around, which fits more with the language that we have in our Gemara, which is that in the city, it's very easy to find water, so therefore the Shadim don't bother with it, as opposed to out in the fields, out in the country, it's harder to find sources of water. So therefore, when water comes to hand, and like this, we're saying a child borrowed it, then a shed of ruach ra is more likely to rest on that water, and therefore a person can be harmed by drinking it. And of afilaba sodanami, even out in the fields, loya moran elamaya, this would only apply to borrowing water, avachamra vashichra leslanba, but there's no problem when it comes to wine or beer. Those shadim aren't going to have any particular truck with. Okay, the fourth one we said over on mayim shfuchin, a person walks over water that was spilled on the ground. So lo yamoran elo delayaf sekinu ba'afra. That would only apply that there is danger only if he doesn't spread dust on top of the water, v'leitaf b'huruka, or he doesn't spit into the water, aval afsekinu, but if he puts dirt on top of the water, o'taf b'huruka, or he spits into the water, less lanba, then there's no problem, then you can walk over a puddle of spilled water. And v'leyamoran elo d'leyavara alayu shimsha, also another point is the danger only exists from shadim, only if the sun had not set with that water on the ground, Over a lie of shit in Nigri, and 60 steps hadn't been passed over it. In other words, you have people, it's on the ground, people are walking by, so eventually you get to the point where enough people have walked by that 60 steps have been taken over it. Aval over a lie of Shimsha, but if the sun set on that water, the over a lie of shit in Nigri, enough people have walked over that 60 steps have been passed over, less lunba, then there's no more danger of shadim from that water. Veloy amaran elo delay rochiv chamra veloy sayim misani. Also, this that we're saying that there's a danger is only if he's not riding on a donkey or some other animal or wearing shoes. Aval rochiv chamra, but if he's riding on a donkey, so now the donkey is the one walking through the water, not him. Visayim misani, or if he's wearing shoes, which also block the effects of the water. Less lunba, then there's no problem. But Vahani Mili, but all of these conditions that we're saying that there's only a problem if the water was spilled and he didn't strew dust on it and he didn't spit in it, or he's wearing shoes or he's riding a donkey, etc. All of that is Hecha the Lekala Mecha Shafim. All of that would only apply only where there's no reason to be concerned about danger from magic, from Kshafim. But if there is concern, so the ordinary concern, in other words, that a person may have spilled water on the ground and shadim are attracted to it, and therefore a person walks through it without these conditions that we mentioned, then the shadim can attack him. But if there's reason to be concerned that whoever spilled water on the ground actually did it for purposes of kishuf, then even if you have all these things, even if the sun set on it, and you spit in it, and you put dust in it, and you're going with shoes, etc., nevertheless, you still have to be concerned. As in fact, we find, we find a case of a person, he was riding on a donkey, and he was wearing shoes, and his donkey walked through such a puddle, and sure enough, kishuf had been done with that water. Vegomud masani, and as he was passing through, his shoes shrank from the effect of the kishuf. Vitzavu kare, and his feet dried up or shrank. In other words, the kishuf had an effect on him. There's a girsa also we mentioned before about his daughter versus his wife. So there's another girsa over here also that mentions another condition, which is that if his daughter spilled it on the ground, then there's less concern because his daughter, first of all, being younger, is less likely to be engaged in kishuf. And second of all, she probably loves her father and is not going to do kishuf against him. But a wife, or particularly an ex-wife, as we learned yesterday in the story with the guy in the tavern, there's more reason to be concerned that she might do kishuf against him, and therefore you need to be careful about that. Tanan Abanam, we learn in a Braisa, Shloisha ein mematzin v'loy mismatzin. There are three things that you shouldn't allow them to walk between two men. That's mematzin v'loy mismatzin, and you, a man, shouldn't walk between two of them. Ve'elu hein hakelev v'hadekel v'ha'isha. Dogs, palm trees, and a woman. So in other words, for example, you shouldn't allow a dog to pass between two men, and a man shouldn't walk between two palm trees, as we said before about the danger of shadim, and the same thing with the other two. V'yesh omim af hachazir, others say also a pig. V'yesh omim af hanachash, and some say also a snake is also in that category. So we'll talk in a second, actually. There's a lot in most of these things. Okay, palm trees we don't have, at least in this part of the world. Dogs you don't have often enough to have the problem either. But as far as the halachas and minhagim involving women, we'll talk about in a second. So v'imim matzin ma'itakade. If you did have that one of them passed between you, what do you do to fix it up? Amar Papa niftach bekeil v'nafsik bekeil. So the Papa says what you should do is say something that begins with the word keil, with Hashem's name, and ends with Hashem's name keil, which is Rashi and the Rashbam refer to, there's two psukim back to back in Parshas Balak, in one of Bilam's brachas to the Jewish people, where he says, Keo Moitziyam Mitzrayim Kesayafa Yisra'im Loi. And the next pasuk continues, Kilo Nachash B'Yakov, Kilo Nachash B'Yakov Lekesim Yisrael, Ka'esli Ya'omal Yaakov Yisrael, Ma Poal Kale. So you have those two psukim back to back. The first one begins with Kale, and the second one begins with Kale. So that's one. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel a different thing, a tefillah that begins with the word kale and asks Hashem to save us from anything bad and finishes off kiata kale. Actually, the Gaonim, they asked one of the Gaonim about it. He said any such formula is fine as long as it begins with kale and ends with kale. The Shittim Mekubetzes actually brings a connection that there may be a connection over here with kale erech apayim that we say on Mondays and Thursdays. You think about that, also begins with kale and ends with kale. So it also has that skula of being able to be protective. By the way, Tosfos points out, you have a halacha that Gemara mentions in Shavuos that you're not allowed to use Divrei Torah to heal yourself, because then it's like, what are you using the Torah as a spell? But here you're not using it to heal, here you're using it to protect. So therefore it's mutter, the same principle as you say Tilim in order to ask Hashem for protection. So the same way here, you're using a posse, you're using Psukim in order to ask Hashem for protection. So that's one. Inami niftach beloy v'nafsik beloy. Another possibility is you start with something that starts with the word loy and ends with the word loy. So again, Rashi and the Rashbam say that we're talking about a pasuk also from Parshas Balak that begins a few pasukim earlier than the other one, that begins Loi ish keil v'chaziv, Loi ish keil v'chaziv v'anodim yisnecham, ha'hu amav v'loyasiv v'dibir v'loi yikimena. So you see that it begins and ends with a phrase involving the word Loi. Tosfos springs from Rabbeinu Hananel, a nusach of a tefillah, that begins with the word loy, loy titsheni alakai, Hashem, don't abandon me, etc. Va'al toim aloy, and don't say no. So it begins and ends with loy. And therefore, that helps to remove the danger that was caused by this mimatzin, by walking between or having walked between one of these things. Marsha explains also that a connection between these psukim that Rashi and the Rashbam mention, a connection between them and this that we're talking about, the first one, the Keil Moitziyam Mimitzrayim, first of all, is also in the middle of the story, because you have the story over there of Bilam trying to curse the Jewish people, and in the middle of it is this part of these two psukim, Keil Moitziyam Mimitzrayim and Ma Poal Keil. And the idea is also what the subject of those psukim is talking about mazikim and kishuf, how those have no power to harm Jewish people. So therefore, those are appropriate psukim to say in this connection. And then similarly with loy ish keil v'chaziv, the loy yikimena, that pasuk is also, sandwiched in the middle of that pasuk is what he's saying about the brachas that he's giving, and that Hashem won't take back those brachas. And therefore, that's an appropriate pasuk in this context. So there is a good deal of discussion about this. There is a good deal of discussion, mostly among the Achronim, about the parameters of this din, not really a din, about this that we're saying over here, that it's dangerous to walk between two women or for a woman to walk between two men. One of them is, so the Ben Ish Chai writes, among others, that there's only a problem if it's one man walking between two women, but not if there are two men walking together. So that's one way around it. Another idea is, I think it's brought from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, writes in one of his Truvas about it, that there's no problem if the women are walking and you happen to be walking between them. We're talking about if they're sitting in one place, they're both sitting, let's say, next to each other on the street or on a bus or something, and you're walking between them, then you might have a problem, not if they're walking down the street in one direction and you happen to be walking in the opposite direction. That it only applies in the street, not in the house. And there's also some discussion, does it apply to your close relatives? For example, if you're walking between your mother and your sister, or between your mother and your wife, or whatever, would that be a problem? Not necessarily. There are these psukim that you can say. There are these psukim that you can say, and there's also an idea that there's also an idea that's brought from a sefer called Segulas Yisrael, that if you have no other alternative, you have women sitting over there, let's say, for example, on a bus or a subway or whatever, and you have to walk between them and there's nothing else, then what you do is hold on to something, and that something makes as though like there's a hefsek between you and them, and therefore there's no problem. By the way, the Gemara mentions in Hodius also that the Gemara in Hodius that lists a bunch of things that cause a person to forget his learning. And one of them is this that we're saying over here, a man walking between two women causes him to forget his learning. Marsha over there says this that we're saying that you can say the psukim that begin and end with loy or that begin and end with kale. That would help as far as the danger that we're talking about in the Gemara over here, but not necessarily as far as the business about forgetting learning. On the other hand, Reb Chaim Sonnenfeld says that no, it might help with that also. Continues the Gemara. Hani beitrei dematzi lahu ish nida. If you have two men where a woman who's nida walks between them, so it depends. Im tchilas nidasahi. If we're talking about that she's at the beginning of her nida cycle, then hareges echad mehem. Then it's going to wind up that she's going to the danger from her, the hezek that's going to be caused from her is going to cause one of them to be killed. Tosfos brings that yesh mefarish that doesn't mean just as a random thing. It means if she does kishuf to them, then it can then that kishuf will be powerful enough to kill them. Im sof nidasahi, and if it's only the end of her nida, meriva oisa benehen, then it'll cause that they'll end up fighting among themselves. My takante, how do you fix it up? So as we just said, niftach bekel, the nafsik bekel, say the psukim or the tefillah or whatever that begins and ends with the word kale, and therefore that'll protect you. There's an interesting quote from the Vilna Gaon that says on this, that when Esther invited Ahasuerus and Haman to the party, she had this Gemara in mind. Because the Gemara tells us in Nida that when she heard the news about what's going on with Haman's Gzera, she was so shocked that she became a Nida. But the Gemara brings an opinion over there that she became Nida. So now, therefore, so she wants to invite the two men, Haman and Ahasuerus, to the party and be between them, figuring that one way or the other, either she'll cause one of them to get killed, or she'll cause one of them to fight with the other, and kachava, because they ended up getting into a fight, and Haman ended up getting himself killed. Continues the Gemara. Hani trei noshi di yasmer parshas drachim. If you have two women sitting at a crossroads, one on one side and one on the other side, and they're facing, they have their faces turned towards each other, then you can be, it's a definite thing, you can be sure that they're involved in kishuf, and therefore they're sitting over there on the two sides of the street, so that way between them they can do kishuf on whoever passes by between them. My takante, so what do you do in order to fix up the situation? So if there's another road that you can walk on, then you go on it and you avoid them altogether. If there's no other road to go by, then if there's another man walking with him, then they should hold hands and walk through, and the koyach of them holding hands and then walking through together will protect them against the kishuf. If there's nobody else walking with him and there's no other way to go, then the person should say the following spell to break the power of their kishuf. Igras, Aslas, Asya, Blusya. Those are names of the various shadim that these women are trying to call down with their kishuf. Igras, in particular, we're going to have tomorrow. Igras Basmachlas, the Gemara says, is the queen of the shadim. All of them, Miskathla, Becheik, Koval, all of them have been killed with arrows from a crossbow. So you say that lachash, and that helps protect against the kishuf that these women are doing. Next, Haiman de poga beitza beidna de salka betvilas mitzvah. If a man meets up with a woman when she's coming up from the tvila for a mitzvah, so she's coming out of the mikvah, then ihu kodim mashamish. If now what happens is when they go their separate ways, if he's the first one when he comes home to have relations with his wife that night, then he, the man, will be seized, will be held under the power of a spirit of znus, which means in other words, not necessarily he's going to be mizana, but in other words, he's going to have a much stronger yetzer hara for it. And if this woman that he met up with happens to be the one that has relations first, then she's going to be seized by a ruach snonim. My takante, how do you fix up the situation? Lemahachi. So you say the following pasuk from Tilim, Shofich buz al nedivim vayasem basoyu loydarach. He pours, Hashem pours out scorn and then mockery on the nedivim, on the nobles, vayasem basoyu loydarach, and he makes them go and he makes them get confused. He makes them get lost in toihu, in nothingness, loydarach, where there's no road to go. So Marshall explains the connection of this with what we're talking about over here about this ruach znunim. First of all, the word shofich buz, the word shofich pours out, suggests the water or the mikveh that she just came out of. And also the idea is that shofich buz, you're saying that you're going to weaken that ruach znunim that came as a result of her toveling in water. He also mentions there's a connection. The word buz is merames on nisuch hamayim in the Bismikdash, where the remozim in the psukim for nisuch hamayim are on the second day of Sukkot, the sixth and the seventh, which spells out the word buz. So in other words, the power of that helps weaken this power of znunim that we're talking about over here. There is a different girsa. There are girsois over here that only bring the first half of the pasuk shofich buz al nedivim. And in fact, there is another pasuk in Tanakh in Sefer Iyov that also begins with those words shofich buz al nedivim umaziach afikim ripa. So for that reason, the Shach and Shulchan Aruch says that better what you should do is say both psukim to be on the safe side, because you can't be sure which one the Gemara meant. And that's how the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it that way also, that if you're in that situation, you meet up with a woman after she comes out of the mikveh, then you should say those two psukim. For this reason, by the way, they have the minhag that the woman, when she comes out of the mikveh, the first one she sees is the mikveh lady. That way also, there's not a problem with somebody else seeing her first. There's not the problem with the Gemara mentions elsewhere that if she sees a dove or tomate, then there's a problem. So like this, that avoids the whole issue because the first one she sees in the mikveh lady is the mikveh lady. There's a Tosfos over here, which is actually printed on the previous daf by mistake. There's a Tosfos over here and also in Bava Metzia that points out you have a Gemara that mentions that Rabbi Yochanan used to sit by the gates of the local mikveh. And he said, the idea is I want that when the women come out of the mikveh, they should see me. And that way they'll have children like as beautiful as me and of the caliber of me. So what are we saying over here? That here we're saying that's a problem. So Tosfos has a few answers. One of them is that we're talking, or Gemara that says that there's something bad in it, or Ruach Znunim, is talking about if you meet her when she's coming out of the water. Here, you don't meet up with her. Rabbi Yochanan is sitting over there outside the gates. So he's not Poga in the first place. Or so the first answer is that the Gemara here is talking about where he sees her right when she comes out of the mikveh, which of course, you know, she's undressed then. It's going to be very unsneistic, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is seeing them only after they're dressed. The second answer Tosfos says is that Rabbi Yochanan was sitting there. Here we're talking about where he meets up with her in the street. And the third answer is that maybe Rabbi Yochanan said these psukim that we're saying over here. Marsha over there in Bava Metzia says, as far as the third answer, I mean, what good would that do? The women aren't going to be saying shofich buz on the divim because they don't know to. But the first two answers, Marsha says could work. Either that we're talking here in the Gemara where he sees her as she's coming out of the mikveh, or that he meets her, or that he's walking by and meets up with her, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan was actually sitting there. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv gam ki elech begeitz almoves. The pasuk says in Tilim, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, lo ira ro, I won't be afraid of any evil, ki ato imadi, because you, Hashem, are with me. What is Geitz Almoves? What is the valley of the shadow of death? Zehayoshin b'tzel deko yechidi. This refers to somebody who sleeps under the shade of a single palm tree, which we're going to explain in a second what we mean by single one, or b'tzel levona, or in the shadow of the moon. And the shadow that's cast by the moon. So the Gemara says, if it's sail deka yechidi loyamoran. Now, when we say it, so in other words, the point is, so if a person is sleeping in such a place, then it's dangerous because shadim can harm him. So David HaMelech is saying and tell him that a person who has great betochen and Hashem, then lo ira ro, I won't be afraid of the shadim and mazikim and whatever, because kiyato imadi. But a regular person needs to be careful about that. There is, by the way, palm trees usually grow in valleys. We learned earlier in the Masechta. So therefore, so Beit Samavus, the valley of the shadow of death, literally means a valley where there's a single palm tree. So the Gemara says, "Of itzel deko yichidi layamoran ella delay nafal tula dechavre ilave." This that we're saying that there's a danger in the shadow of a single palm tree that applies only if it's far apart from the other ones, that the shadow of another palm tree doesn't fall on this one. Aval nafal tula tula dechavre ilave. But if the trees are close enough together, where the shadow of one meets up with the shadow of another one, or meets up with the other tree, less slumba, then there's no problem with it, because then Rashi and the Rashbam say that then the shed will just go to the other palm tree and it's not going to bother you. But if they're so far apart where the shade of one doesn't reach the other, then, like, so to speak, the shed that we're talking about the danger of is not going to even realize that there's another palm tree nearby, and therefore he's going to stick to this one and end up harming the person sleeping underneath it. So the Gemara asks, Ella Hodatanya, but what about, one second, we learn in a Braisa, Hayoshin Betzel Deko Yechidi B'chotzer, if a person sleeps under the shade of a palm tree, of a single palm tree in the chotzer, in the courtyard, Vayoshin Betzel Levana, or if a person sleeps in the shadow that's cast by the moon, Domei Berosha, his blood is on his own head, in other words, he's responsible for whatever happens to him. Heichidami, so what's the scenario? Why are we mentioning specifically in a chotzer? If we're talking about that this palm tree is so far apart from other ones that the shadow of another one doesn't fall on it, then the same thing would apply, even if that palm tree is in the field. Why specify davka if it's in the chotzer? So you have to learn from that, that when the tree is in the chotzer, even if it is close enough to another palm tree where the shadow of the other one falls on it, then there's still a danger. So you're right, Shmamina, the Gemara says, that proves that yes, in the chotzer, then there's a danger of any palm tree, of sleeping under the shade of any palm tree. And Rashi and the Rashbam say the reason is because in a chotzer, it's a narrower area. So like the shed has no room to go one way or the other. So therefore it walks right by there and it ends up harming the person. But out in the field, then we still have what we said before, that only if the palm tree is by itself far enough away from other ones, then the shed is going to stick to this palm tree, but otherwise not. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Now, when we talk about there's a danger in sleeping in the shadow of the moon, that applies only when the shadow is cast towards the west, meaning that the Rashbam says at the end of the month. The moon is in the eastern part of the sky. So therefore, if you're lying next to a wall over there, the shadow is being cast towards the west. If a person sleeps under the shadow at that time, then it's dangerous. But when the shadow of the moon is cast towards the east, the other way around, at the beginning of the month, where the moon is more on the west side of the sky, and therefore the shadows it casts are towards the east, then there's no problem. Then there's no problem sleeping in that kind of shade. Continues the Gemara. Hai man de mafni agirda de dikla, a person who goes to the bathroom on the stump of a palm tree. He will be affected by a spirit of palga. It means paralysis, or it means insanity. Anyway, also, if a person rests his head against the stump of a palm tree, after the ruach tsrada, then he will be attacked by a spirit of tsrada, which is, the Rashbam says, means a migraine headache. There's a couple of other possibilities what tsrada means. One of them is, there's an explanation, I think, from the Aruch, that it means vertigo, where a person feels dizzy. Okay. Haiman de posi adikla. Also, if a person steps over a stump of a palm tree or a chopped down palm tree, a fallen palm tree. If a person steps over the trunk or the stump of it, e miktel. If that palm tree had been chopped down, kotil, then what's going to happen to the person? He himself is going to end up getting murdered. E akar. If the palm tree was uprooted from the ground, mi'akar or mayis, then what's going to happen is this person is just going to die young. But the Gemara says, hani mila de manach kare ilave. That applies only if he doesn't put his foot on the tree or on the stump as he's walking over. I'm a manach kare ilave. But if he puts his foot on the tree as he's walking over, less than ba, then there's no problem with it. There's no danger of him being killed or dying young. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Chamisha tule hab. There are five kinds of shades, the shades of five different things where Ruach Ra tends to hang out in those areas, and therefore it's dangerous to be there. Number one, Chula de Dikla Yechida, the shade of a palm tree that's by itself, like we said before, where there's no palm tree close enough to it that the shade of the other one falls on it. Number two, Chula de Kanda. Number two, the shade of a Kanda tree. Rashi and Rashbam just say over here that's just Shema Ilan, the name. It's just the name of the tree. There's actually they identify it. Different people identify it as a certain kind of thorny tree. Number three, Tula de Parcha. Number three, the shade of a tzlaf bush. We learned about in Brachas, for example, about a tzlaf plant. It produces berries, and also there's also the shells of the berries themselves are edible separately, and you have flower buds. The capers that you can buy in the store are there pickled flower buds of it, but they're the shade. So a tzlaf is a good plant to have. We had the story in Masechta Shabbos about the chassid who didn't fix the hole in the wall around his garden because he thought about doing it on Shabbos. And in the end, a tzlaf bush grew over there. So a tzlaf bush is a good thing to have, but the shade of it is dangerous because shadim like to hang out there. Number four, tula de zradda. Number four is the shade of a zradda tree, which is in English, it's called a sorb tree. Now you only have four listed over here, so there are kisveyad where they have a fifth one, the shade of a fig tree. Hagoris Hagra says over here that the next one, the Gemara is going to mention an ikad de amri, another version that one of them is the shade of an arava tree. So Hagoris Hagra moves that to over here that the fifth one would be the shade of an arava tree. Okay, ikad de amri. Others say af tula de arba betula de arvosa. Some say also the shade of a boat and the shade of an arava tree. So those kinds of shades, a shade likes to hang out in shade, I guess. So, but in particular, the shade of these trees, shadim like to hang out in. I guess you could say that they're shady characters. Klala de Milsa, the general rule is called the nufish anfe, any tree that has a lot of branches, koshi tule, then the shade of it is bad for you, because again, that's the kind of place where shadim like to hang out. The called the koshi silve, koshi tule, also any kind of tree whose wood is hard, silve actually really means it's thorns, so it can mean that the wood is hard, in other words, it's bad for you because it has a lot of thorns in it. Or it could just mean that the wood itself is hard, like a mahogany tree or something. Koshe tule, then the shade of it is bad. Levar mikrumasha, with the exception of a tree called a krumasha, even though the wood of it is hard and it has a lot of branches and it has thorns, that kind of tree is not dangerous. Afagab de koshi silve, even though its wood or its thorns are very hard. Loi koshi tule, its shade is not bad for you. A krumasha in English, the name for it is a service tree. It's actually related to, we just said before, it's zradta, it's called a sorb tree. A krumasha apparently is a related species. It's a type of sorb tree. In English, it's called a service tree. Okay, you know, we're city boys. What do we know one tree? What do we know one kind of tree from another? So what? Why is the krumasha not dangerous? The Omra Lashida Livra, as we find that a female shed says to her son, Pirchi Nafshich Mikrumasha, fly yourself away from the Krumasha tree, the Ihu de Kotel Lavuch, because that tree killed your father, the Kotel Lidide, and it's going to kill you as well if you don't get away from it. So, therefore, a Krumasha tree is not dangerous because Shadim don't hang around by it. Okay. On the other hand, Omra Ravashi, Chazinu Lerav Kahana, the Parish Mikulu Tuli. Rav Ashi says, I saw Rav Kahana, who was one of Rav Ashi's Rebbeim, that he stayed away from all kinds of shade, because you never know what kind of shade he might like to hang out among. Okay, continues the Gemara. Bei Parchi Ruchi. The shed that you find, now we just said that there were a few different kinds of shade of shadim that liked to, that there were a few different kinds of shades, rather, where shadim like to hang out. So let's talk about some of them specifically. The ones that the shadim that hang out under a parcha, which we said is a tzlaf bush, their name is ruch. The name of that type of shadim is ruch. The Bei Zradda, the ones who hang out in the shade of a Zradda tree, a sorb tree, are called Shida. The Bei Igri, the ones that hang out on roofs, are called Rishpi. They're called fiery flames. So the Gemara says, L'mai nafka minna, why do you need to know the names of these different kinds of shadim? So the answer is L'kameya, you need to know them as far as writing a Kameya. We learned in Masechta Shabbos about the matter of writing a Kameya, that you have a person who is expert in Kabbalah and is expert in these kinds of things, can write a piece of paper or parchment or whatever that has names of Hashem or names of Malachim or names of Shadim or whatever on it to get them to go away. So you need to know the proper name of the shed, of the proper name of the type of shed in order to write the Kameya. Okay, continues the Gemara, the Beit Parchi, the Shadim that hang out under tzlaf bushes, Beria She'en La'inayim. That is a creature that has no eyes. So the Mayan Naftamina, why is that important to know? And the answer is the Gazuzila. This way you can run away. The other Shadim, you're not necessarily going to accomplish anything by running away because the shed can chase a person. But the ones that hang out under a tzlaf bush, since they have no eyes, and if you run away, you'll be safe. So in fact, the Gemara says, Zimna chada have ozel tzurvim en abanon. One time a young Talmud Chacham was going, lafnuye, to go to the bathroom, lebei parchi, under a tzlaf bush, but shoma de ka'ose lebei. As he was there, he heard that the shed is coming to attack him. The Gazi law, so he ran away. Now this shed without eyes is trying to chase after him. But Ki Ozla, as it was going, Chabke Ladikla, it hugged a palm tree, or it can also mean maybe it tripped over a palm tree. The Rashbam says nafka. The Rashbam changes the word chavke, which would mean that it hugged. He changes it to nafka adikla. It went out on a palm tree. In other words, it tripped over. It tripped over the trunk of a palm tree. Savach dikla. The palm tree dried up. Upokahi, and the shed exploded. So sure enough, the young Talmud Chacham was saved by knowing that he can run away from this shed. And sure enough, the shed, not having eyes, tripped over an obstacle and blew up. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, the word over here, parucha, take out, it's actually, we had the word parucha before, meaning a tzlaf bush, but here, the next one, devei zradda, we said the shadim that hang out in a zradda tree are called shidi, the name of those shadim is actually, they're called shadim. So the Gemara says, ha zradda, we said before, is devei zradda shida, so now we're in the plural, is shidi. So the Gemara says, "Ho zradta the smicha l'masa." When you find a zradta tree, a sorb tree near the city, you should know, like pachsa mishitin shidi. You should know there's going to be at least 60 shadim in such a tree. L'may nafkamina. Why is that important to know? And again, the answer is l'michtav l'kameya. The answer is, in order to write a kameya, if you're going to write a kameya in order to save a person from the effect of those shadim, you need to know that there are at least 60 shadim over there to write the kameya properly. So the Gemara tells a case in that connection. Ahu bar kasha demasa. There was a certain bar kasha of a city. The Rashbam over here explains that bar kasha means, Rashi and the Rashbam over here say, or Rashi says it means shoymer her ear, a city watchman. The Rashbam says shoyter her ear, the city policeman. And there are other, in different other places, Rashi and the Rashbam give other explanations that a bar kasha is somebody who's mamun alamelech, a person who was appointed by the king to some position, or moshal ha'ir, the mayor, whatever it was, this bar kasha, demasa, the ozel v'koi gabi zradta d'habe samach l'masa, he went and was standing by a zradta tree that was near a city, not knowing that there are shadim over there. Sure enough, 60 shadim went into him and attacked him. The istakan, so now he's dangerously sick. Also, so he went to one of the chachamim. This rov that he went to did not know that the tree has at least 60 shadim in it. So he wrote a kameya for one shed, saying, shed, get away from him and don't bother this guy. But that only helps with one. You still have at least 59 left. So the Gemara says, Shama, then this person, this Bar Kasha, or maybe the Talmud Chacham heard the Tolu Chinga Begavei, that the Shadim had hung a musical instrument inside the tree where they're hanging out, and they're singing and they're celebrating. Become Mashu Hochi, and they're singing a song like this. Sudre Demar, Kitsurva Menabanan. The Sudr, the head, the turban or whatever, the headgear that this guy who wrote the Kameya is wearing is like the one that a young Talmud Chacham wears. But in fact, Bodikna Bebemar, we shade him, looked into that master, into that supposed Talmud Chacham, Deloya da Baruch, and we found he didn't even know that you're supposed to make a bracha when you put on that headgear, the bracha that we say every day. Oitu Yisrael B'Sifara refers to the fact when a person puts on his hat, is he says that bracha. We just say all the brachas together for various reasons, but in principle, the idea was supposed to be, and the Rambam writes it this way, Marshall, that you're supposed to say each bracha as you do it. So when you put on your hat, you're supposed to say Oitu Yisrael B'Sifara, or it brings actually that the Rosh used to say it when he put on his tefillin, So these shadim are making fun of this guy. Like, he looks like a Talmud Chacham and he's wearing a turban like a Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't even know this concept of making a bracha on when he puts on his turban, when he puts on his hat. So therefore, like, they're making fun of him. Like, he also, look at this, you know, this guy supposedly is an expert on kameyas and he knows how to write a kameya to get rid of shadim. He didn't even realize that there are 60 of us over here and he's writing a kameya to get rid of one of us. What good is that supposed to do? So, Osahu min Abanan, so then another Talmud Chacham came along, the Yoda Dizrab to Shitin Shidihava, he knew that this tree being close to the city has at least 60 shadim in it, because of the Kameya to Shitin Shidi, he wrote out a Kameya to get rid of 60 shadim, and sure enough, Shoma de Ka'amru, then he overheard the shadim saying, Panu Manaych Mehocha, clear your stuff out of here, we got to pack our bags and move, because now, because of this Kameya, we can't stay here anymore. Earlier, when we talked about Birkas Kohanim and Zugus, Mar Shah pointed out that the 60 letters of Birkas Kohanim help counteract the bad effects of Shadim and Mazikim and other such things. So here we see the same thing, that a Kameya written for 60 is good enough no matter how many Shadim there are. He didn't have to know the exact number. As long as he writes 60, then we're good. Okay. Continues the Gemara. More on the topic of Shadim. You have a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Hazinu that mentions various dangers and problems and troubles that the Jewish people are going to have if they don't listen to the Eibishter. And one of them is Ketev Miridi, Mizei Rav Alachum Ereshef, the Ketev Miridi. It says in the pasuk there in Hazinu. Ketev literally means cutting off, and Miridi means bitter. So the Gemara explains, Trei Katvi Habu, there are two kinds of shadim that are called ketiv. Chad mi kami tiara, chad mi basa tiara. One of them is active before noon, and the other one after noon. The mikame tiara ketiv mirishmai, the one in the morning is called ketiv miridi. Umechzi, and it appears bei kada de kamcha, inside the jar of kamcha, which is kutach, which is the dip made out of sour milk and moldy breadcrumbs and salt that we learned about earlier in the Masechta, v'hoder be'bachsha, and it looks like a spoon stirring in it. That's the girsa that we have in front of us, bei kadet kamcha, which means that it appears inside the jar of kamcha. There's a different girsa that the merci kikadet kamcha, which you have in Ein Yaakov, for example, which means that it looks like a jar of kutach with a spoon stirring around in it. The bosotir, the one that's active in the afternoon, ketev yoshud sarayim shmoi. The name of it is ketev yoshud sarayim, which we have in Kapitel Tzadik Aleph of Tilim in Yoshua B'Seis Elyon. Lo yisirim pacha loylam echetzi of yoimam v'deva ba'ifah yalach miketev yoshud sarayim. Yosh means that it destroys, so the ketev that destroys in the afternoon. Umechse beikown de iza, it appears by the horns of the goats. Vahoda beiknafya, and it goes round and round like a sieve. Or different explanation, knafya can also mean horns, so it has wings, so it means it has wings surrounding it. Again, a different gear says that it appears like a horn with wings surrounding it. Okay. So the Gemara tells a story in that connection. Abaya have a shock over Ozil. One time Abaya was walking down the street. The Ozil Rapapa Miyamine Ravhuna Bredevishua Mismale. Rapapa was walking on his right. Rapapa and Ravhuna Bredevishua were Talmidim of Abaya. So Rapapa is walking on his right side, not actually literally on his right side. Tosfos points out a Talmud is not supposed to walk right next to his Rebbe. What we mean, like a little bit behind and to the right. And Ravhuna Bredevishua was on the left. Then Abaya saw that a ketev miriri, this kind of shed, is coming towards them on his left side. So he switched around the Talmidim and put Rav Papa on the left and Rav Huna Bredev Yeshua on the right. So Rav Papa asked him, how come you're not choshish for me that I might get harmed by this ketev, by this ketev miriri? So Abaya answers him, at shata kaimasloch. For you, the hour is standing in good stead. In other words, you have good mazel. You're rich, so you have good mazel, so therefore you're not going to be affected by the shed. So therefore, I put you in that position. You're not going to be affected by it anyway because you're rich and have good mazel. I was worried about Rav Huna Bredev Yeshua, therefore I had to move him to the other side. The Meiri puts it a little bit differently. At Shaita Kaimaloch, he says, you're a very brave person, so I knew you're not going to be scared of the Ketav Meiri. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Mechad b'Tamuz ad Shitzabe, from the 1st through the 16th of Tamuz, Vadei Shchifi, definitely these Ketav Meiri and Ketav Yoshud Saharayim are around, so you got to be careful about them. Mikan ve'elach, Sofek Shchichi, Sofek Lo Shchichi. After that, throughout the rest of the year, it's a Sofek whether you'll find them or not. And when you find them, you can find them more than other places in the shade of a chotzev plant, which has not grown a height of an amma. A chotzev, in English, it's a plant called squill. In particular, it has very deep roots. It has very deep roots that grow straight down into the ground. The Gemara mentions in Bava Basra, because of that, because it's very hard to uproot the plant, Yeshua, when he divided up Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, he planted these chotzev plants along the borders so they would serve as permanent border markers, or at least semi-permanent border markers. So you have a chotzev, when the chotzev flowers, it grows a tall stalk of flowers, so eventually it comes to the point where it reaches an amma height, but up until that point, the shade of it is where these ketev miriri and ketev yoshud sarayim like to hang out. Over tulid et safro panya delehavigamida, also the shade of anything else in the morning or the evening that's not an amma long. The Ikka, the Tula, the Bezakisa, mainly you'll find them more than any place else in the shade of a bathroom. By the way, there is a different our Gemara is saying over here that these Ketev Meridi and Ketev Yashad Sarayim are mostly during the first 16 days of Tammuz. There's actually a different source that says, there's actually a different Medrash that says that you find them more during the 3 weeks, beginning from Shivas. And in fact, based on that, it brings in Shulchan Aruch that a person should be careful not to walk alone during those times. And also it talks about other sakonis that you have during that time. Malamdim shouldn't hit their Talmidim during that time, during the 3 weeks, because there's more of a time from Shivas Batamuz onward till Tisha B'Av where there's more of a sakana around than the rest of the year. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to go on to other miscellaneous topics that lead to bad results, not necessarily involving shadim. Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Tlas Mili Yoiv Arvoina L'Nahora. The following three things make a person go blind. The person was able to see, and now they become blind. Number one, Mandesorik Reisha Yovish, a person who combs his hair while his hair is dry. Number two, mandashosi tiftif, a person who drinks the drops that drip out of a barrel. And number three, mandasoy masani adamais nekara. And the third one is a person who puts on his shoes while his feet are still wet from taking a bath. So those three things make a person go blind. Do they make a person go blind nowadays? Laft Afghanistan Wativim, but yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Tloy Bevesa, if you hang food in the house, Koshala Aniyosa, it's bad. It makes a person more likely to become poor. Kedamri Inchi, as you have the expression that people say, Tola Silta, Tola Mizone, you hang up the basket of food, then you're hanging up your livelihood, like your livelihood is only hanging by a thread. But the Gemara says, "V'lo yamorin ela rifta." Now that only applies to bread, that there's a danger in hanging it up. Av a bisra of a kavri, less than ba, but fish and meat, but meat and fish, there's no problem. Urchehu, it's normal. It's normal to hang up fish, and it's normal to hang up meat and fish in the house to dry or whatever. So therefore, there's no problem with that. Only bread. Next, continues the Gemara, Pori Bevesa, if there is bran in the house, Koshi L'Aniyosa, then it's bad for Aniyos. Also, it makes a person more likely to become poor. We don't mean like bran, like for example, if a person has raisin bran or something in their house, pastures. What we mean, one explanation is we mean, for example, if a person could afford normal bread and instead they choose to be cheap and eat bread made with bran, so then, you know, a person's going to be cheap like that, so the Eibishter can make them that they taka end up having to eat that because they become poor. Next, neshura. It could also mean just if you have bran lying around. Neshura bebesa koshalaniusa. Also, crumbs in the house are bad for becoming poor. In fact, belele Shabbos, so belele Revius, on Friday nights and on Tuesday nights, shoru mazikin elave, mazikin rest on those crumbs. So having crumbs on the floor is bad for anius. There's actually the Gemara in Cholin tells a story that there was a guy who was always very, very careful with this. Whenever he ate, he would always sweep up the crumbs in order not to have this problem. One time he's eating over some grass. So the shed in charge of Anius, who we're going to mention in a second, thinks to himself, "Oh, now for sure I got him. How is he ever going to pick up all those crumbs from among the grass?" But in the end, what he does is after he's finished eating, he takes a shovel and starts digging out the dirt over there in order to make sure to get every last crumb and throw them into the river. So the shed gives up and he says, "Okay, you know what? I'm not going to have a chance against this guy." Next. The Gemara continues, Isora de Mizone, the shed that the malach that's in charge of that a person has parnasa. Parnasa comes from the Eibishter, of course, but it's filtered through a malach or a shed, as the case may be. So his name, his Nokid Shmei, his name is Nokid Meloshin Noki, Meloshin Clean. So he likes to see that he likes to see a clean house. So therefore, that's what we're saying. He doesn't like crumbs on the floor. So if he sees that your house is clean and there's no crumbs on the floor, then Ashiros is more likely to come. On the other hand, Isra Dani Yusa, the shed or the malach in charge of poverty, Novel Shmei, his name is Novel, which means disgusting. So when he sees that a house is dirty and disgusting, then you're more likely to have Anius over there. Another one, saw a puma de chatzva. If a person puts a plate on top of a barrel, wine or whatever, koshi lani yosa, that's also a bad thing. It makes a person more likely to be poor. Why? Doesn't say. And mandashos maya betsoy, a person who drinks water out of a plate, koshi la barukti, then it's a bad thing. It causes that he's going to have a disease that's going to cause his eyes to get destroyed. Okay, so all these are various things that the Gemara is giving us advice of things to do and things not to do that are more likely to cause bad effects or to cause good effects. And we'll continue on Matzah Shabbos, Bez Hashem, and continue with more of these and then more advice for life from the Chachamim.